Amen. Pastor Mark is in Toledo at the conference. If you don't know, Pastor Matt actually flew in today and he'll be up there until Saturday, and he'll be back having a great time. Dad is really being fed, and that's what it's all about. Amen. I'm excited to minister to you tonight. I'm glad that I have the opportunity, and I don't take it lightly. But I know that God is ready to do some new things. Amen. I believe God is ready to explode in the body of Christ. But I believe we must understand how that takes place before we can experience it. See, a lot of times when you hear the word supernatural, that means it has to be walking on the water. It has to be the leg being healed from broken, the blind man's eyes being touched. It has to be something that is astronomical. But in reality, if you look at the meaning, it's not just for the strong and the radical believer, but it's a gift of supernatural expectation that God's given every one of us. See, if you're a believer, you have an expectation, amen? When you pray, you believe you're going to be heard. When you ask, you expect to be heard, right? When you're in a crisis and you seek out and you call your friends and you, Miss Grace, can you pray with me? Miss Rachel, can you pray with me? Miss Regina, can you pray with me? You expect something to take place. Amen? That expectation is in within us because God said in the beginning, in Genesis 1:26, He placed His likeness within each one of us. He gave us the ability to rule and reign over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Meaning every situation you find yourself dealing with, every creep in your life, you're not hearing me tonight. Everything that you're faced with, there's a supernatural expectation that God's given you to believe. But the problem is, we only believe the supernatural expectation is for the prophet or for the evangelist or for the bishop or for the pastor. We don't believe that we have the ability to lay hands on the sick and watch them be healed. We don't believe that we can speak to that mountain and watch it move. We believe that we have to have somebody else. You're not hearing me. Somebody else do it for me. Amen. See, God gave me this thought, and it really stuck with me. It said, if Jesus was the fly on your wall, what would He leave your house thinking? That's pretty deep, ain't it, Brother Sam? Oh, we all might be in trouble at times. Lord, I know I would. I need about 7 bottles of that right there. Let's just be honest. Come on, 8, yeah. Give me the gallon. Because the expectation that we have of ourselves is not the same expectation that God has for you. See, God knows your mistakes. God knows your hair on your head. So if He's taking that amount of time, Jacob, don't you think He doesn't know how many times you're already going to fall down? You're not hearing me. Before you get up. But see, the difference is we don't understand the supernatural expectation that God has for us. Aaron, what God's placed within us to do. See, Jesus, you remember back in the 80s and 90s, you had the bracelets. WWJD. What would Jesus do? It's like getting behind the lady that's got the Jesus bumper sticker, but when you go by her, you was riding her tail, so she gives you the... Burr. Whoa, I did... Wasn't that a Jesus sticker? Right? What happened there? Something went wrong right there real quick. Real quick, we all been there. We've all thought it. We might not have done it. But see, the difference is God expects us to move when He speaks. But where we get misled and off path is we don't understand when He's speaking because we got so many other things speaking to us. You didn't hear that. See, sometimes your friend that's telling you the advice, I don't think I want no marriage advice from somebody who's been married 14 times. If that's you, God has grace for you. He's dealing with you, amen. But I don't want to come and seek advice from somebody that's had that issue, right? You understand what I'm saying? God graces certain people for certain things. But there's a supernatural expectation When you look at the word expectation, listen here. It says to have a strong desire and be filled with anticipation and confidence in obtaining what is hoped for. Faith is hoped for, but yet not. There you go. Hoped for and expected. When you have faith, you expect results, right, Brother Anthony? You don't have faith saying this ain't going to happen, but I'm going to believe it anyway. Amen? You have faith that when you do a job, you go to the bank, you hand the teller the check, she's not going to say there's no funds in there, and stamp it NSF and hand it back to you, right? You have faith that that check is good. See, God's given you the faith to believe in the supernatural, to move in the supernatural. But see, what we do is we manipulate it and say, that's speaking in tongues and that stuff just ain't for me. It's not all about that. It's about your ability to discern, to hear. He who have an ear? Come on. See, your expectations of what you believe in yourself is different than what God has in you. See, God says, I created you for greatness. There's greatness within you. But what happens is you look in the mirror and your identity gets all discombobulated because you're looking at what man says. You've already taken on every label that has been given to you by your uncle, your brother, your grandpa, your boss, your friend, your schoolmate, your ex. You're not hearing me. You're taking on the identity that man's speaking to you. But God's saying, I have supernatural expectations for your life. I know that you've got something great inside you. There's a well of living water inside you. But you've not tapped into it because you've been letting that filter pollute what's coming out of you. Because of your influence, you can't influence. That's a good word. See, sometimes you find yourself allowing everyone to speak into your life, but you spent no time in the Word. Oh, let's look at the Word real quick. Let me show you something. Guess what? I got some real great revelation for you. When Jesus came to the earth in the form of man, guess what he had to rely on? The Word. He's God in the form of man, but he has to fight off the temptation of hunger, doubt. Am I really going to do this? Oh, as he's fasting, what is the enemy trying to do? The enemy's trying to derail him and say, you're not hearing me. The enemy's trying to use his flesh to get in because he's not in a place at that moment higher than we are, but he's brought himself to the same level. See, you have to bring yourself to the same level of understanding of where you are with your walk in Christ before God can elevate you to a higher level. It's a supernatural expectation, but you have to walk before you run. You got to crawl before you walk. It's a process that you're living out every day. And the supernatural move of God in your life can take place once you understand that God created you for greatness. See, our identity is what causes the mess. See, the foundation of what I'm saying is this. God called us to be examples to all mankind. If Jesus had to rely on the Word, in Matthew 4 and 2 and 3, it says it like this. Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for what? The test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger. How many's ever went on a fast? Come on, how many's ever gave up pop or soda or meat or chocolate? Something, you fasted something. Oh, Lord, by the time you're done and you get a hold of that chocolate or you get a hold of that food or that meat or whatever it is you've been fasting, if you've been on a liquid diet, when you get some solid food, you would think you done won the lottery. Amen. See, how can you imagine Jesus being in this desert, this darkened place in his life, and he had to say, I'm relying on the Word. I need to look and check myself and get back to what God said. See, sometimes we find ourselves, Takia, in a place of darkness because we've went outside the confines of the Word. We've took the Word and I'm going to hit somebody tonight. You're going to take the word and manipulate it to get to where you want it to be so it lines up with your agenda and your thought pattern and your way of doing, because the way that God created is not lined up with what you want to do. See, it's a me too attitude. How many had a me too friend? See, the me too friend is, oh, you know what? She's drama. Yeah, me too. I had to experience that with her. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. All of you got that me too friend. All they come to you for is confirmation of their drama. They ain't looking for no Holy Ghost party. They ain't looking for no deliverance. They ain't looking for no deliverance from nothing, except all they want to do is for you to come into agreement with their mess. That's all they want. All right, it might be your family. It might be your best friend. I'm sorry. It might even be your mamas. I don't know. But you're telling me there's somebody in your life that's like that. Because I know, because I've been there. See, those me too people is what brings you down to the darkest place in your life, to where you need to get back to the meat of the word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that my life is predestined. I know there is greatness within me. But what I have let happen is my mind be manipulated by what people say. See, when we look at the family tree of Jesus, think about something. You think your family tree is jacked up. Look at Jesus' family tree. Abraham. The prostitute. Rahab. Yep. We can keep going. Jesse. Jacob. It keeps going. So if Jesus was able to overcome with his family tree, that's not an excuse. Are you not hearing me? See, so long can you ride the coattail of what mommy and daddy done to me, or what I've been hurt by, or what churches caused me this pain, and what pastor's done this to me. Oh, you're not here. What had this taken place in my life? Oh, poor pitiful me. Before long, you're over in the corner with your little violin, and you played it all by yourself. And before long, 20 years has passed you by, and you're still in the depression that's caused you to be there for so long. But you could have been free, but you didn't have the ability to look in the mirror and say, I'm not living this way any longer. God called me to something bigger and better, and baby, I'm ready to jump on that train, because this pouting and frowning and being in fear and doubt has just killed me. It's took too much of my time, and I'm here to declare today is the day that I say no weapon formed against me is going to prosper any longer. So you got to get angry at some things in your life. See, there's some things in your life, it's okay. Lord, I just need you to touch it. But there's some things in your life that you got to get down and dirty with. You don't dig up roots from a tree in your Sunday best clothes. No. You get your old Dockers, your steel toes, your old overalls, your best tools for digging, and you go outside and you begin to dig up. And you have to dig and dig and dig. And sometimes it's even longer, because the longer the roots are there, the deeper they go. And the deeper the roots go, the more they're implanted into other things. See, before long, you thought you was digging up one tree. But I'm here to tell you, God says there's a whole forest in your life you got to get rid of. Because when it intertwines with each other, the only way to get free deliverance from that is to get rid of all of it. See, some of you got to do some deep soul searching and understand. God can show up and show out in your life, but you supernaturally have to get rid of some things. You got to begin to pray a different way. God, I need what's causing this distraction to be taken out of my life. God, I need what's causing me to stumble every time I get to this hurdle. Right here, God, there's something in my life right here that stops me every time. I can get so close, but yet I'm still so far away. What is it, God? Some of us may need to fast over that, amen? Some of us have to take inventory of what we've allowed into ourselves. See, sometimes what looks like a blessing is really a setup. Come on. How many of you have taken that job for more money? Oh. And then it's taking you out of church every Wednesday and Sunday for a month, 2 months, 3 months. It looked like a blessing. You got a new car. You got your house repainted. Edgar came over and put a nice job on your house. But yet now you're sitting there miserable because you're not being fed. See, the things that influence our life, the things that change us, and that take us to a different place that God has for us, is those things in our life we must understand, why are they there? What is God expecting from me? Look at Romans 15 and 13. Romans 15 and 13. When you're there, say amen. Thank you. Was that you, Kaylin? Cameron? Are you there? Did you bring your Bible? Okay, you got your phone. That's all that matters. All right. It says, so I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in Him. May you overflow with hope through the power of what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Here's God's focus for your life. Number one, that God may fill you up. How does this happen? One, He addresses us all by saying, you have the ability. You were called into greatness. I place myself within you. He identifies every one of us as His. Amen? The one being addressed personally by name, the one being singled out and valued. If you look at Isaiah 41, 9 and 10, He tells us there that we're special. He explains there in Isaiah, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, though I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I've cast you away, and they have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Not only does He tell us there He's chosen us, but He also tells you don't fear. And if you look at that scripture, what it's talking about, it's in the middle of Israel. And what's happening there is they're being taken captive. Okay? They're in bondage. They're not in a place of celebration, Brother Anthony. They're in a dark, deep place in their life. And God's speaking to them in their deepest, darkest times. See, I do believe there's seasons that we walk through that God's not speaking to us. I believe there's some things that you sow that you got to reap. Come on. There's some things that you do financially. If you go get credit cards, Jacob, Aaron, and you run them up, and you come up in here Sunday of the following Sunday after you run the credit cards up, and you begin to shout and pray that God delivers you of this credit card debt and brings you a miracle. Can He do it? Yes. But I'm probably going to think that God's going to let you walk this out so that you can learn something from what you did. See, there's some things in our life that we are tested by because of our choices when we are outside the covering of who God is. What God is. How God moves in our life. See, your expectation of God is, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to mess up. I'm going to do as much bad as I want. I'm going to get so far over here. Oh, Lord, I'm just going to keep going. This looks good. But then the whole time you're coming back, you're like, oh, God, where am I? How did I get there? What brought me to this place? What can I do? How can I do it? And God's saying, the same way you did it that way, reverse it and come back. See, the Bible tells us that when you're indebted to someone, you're a slave to that person. How about I take it to another level? When you're indebted to yourself up here, you're a slave to yourself. And 90% of our problems is that we're captured by our past and we can't see our future. See, when everything you look at is this way, you're never going to be able to understand what's before you. You're never going to understand where God's taking you because you can't get rid of where you've been. Come on, you fail one test and you mess up your 5.0 GPA? You're going to be stuck there trying to figure out why, because you had this perfect situation here. But sometimes the boat is rocked because of our complacency, because of our inability to say, God did this, not Steve. See, sometimes we get caught up in thinking that it's us. Amen. Sometimes we get ourselves stuck in a rut, per se. So therefore, when God brings something in our life for the supernatural to move on, we can't understand that it's God, because we've been doing it so long for ourselves. See, the Word has to become your lamp. If the Word is not what you're seeking, your counsel from. And you're in the Word nightly as you are in your prayer life and your worship life. How can you expect to overcome? Jesus had to have the Word. Jesus had to have an encounter of the supernatural when He brought Himself to this level. Amen? Number two, God's expecting to move towards you. I'm telling you, we're in a season. Prophetically, I'm telling you this. We're in a season. I'm going to give you what God gave me. There's a progressional movement coming in the church. When God visits you, He's going to take care of some things. I'm going to tell you word for word what He said to me. When God takes care of some things are going to be gone. What you have been dealing with, the provisions you've been making, the discouragement that's coming out of your mouth, the encounters you've had with people, the expectations of your heritage, the disenchantment of your tree, the Holy Spirit is God's presence in your life. But today, a visitation of the supernatural expectation in your life will change and set free the bondage that's been with you from a young age. You have to begin to say one thing out of your mouth: I believe. When you understand that you have to believe, you'll be like Simon's mother laying sick. Come on. Fever. Jesus came to her. Just one touch. The lady with the issue of blood. Oh, you're not hearing me tonight. She wasn't pulling on him, Edgar. She was in a distance. But the compassion and the pull from God, what Jesus felt, drew him to her. Don't think that the nights that you lay asleep and you think that what's happened in your life, the things that have discouraged you, the things that you have done, the sin you have partook, the things that have caused you the discombobulated mess in your life. Don't think that God doesn't know what's going on. You don't hide it from God. You don't hide it from God. God knows your beginning and your end. God knows your struggles. God knows the marijuana addiction. God knows the sex addiction. God knows the trust addiction. God knows everything in your life that's going on. You're hiding it from no one, but you're hurting yourself. You're driving a stick in your chest and saying, I want to live, but I'm bleeding out. God's here to say, I'm going to put my hand over that wound, and as I begin to touch you, one touch is going to dry up years of hurt. Oh, you thought God was done with you, but God's here to say tonight, I'm going to take care of some things in your life that you thought was took from you. What you felt was took from you, Gary. What you felt the enemy has stolen. God says, I'm going to give back. And I'm going to give back in the governmental number of 7 times what you felt was taken. But you have to understand, there's a supernatural expectation in your life. And if you don't believe God can show up in your life, then you're going to be stuck right where you're at. See, you have to move. It's something Dad taught me. My biological mom was having a heart attack. And I flew from Ohio to Charlotte because she was in Virginia. They flew her to Baptist. And I said, I want her to live. I want her to live. I got off the plane and my phone was ringing. He said, son, if she don't want to live, she's not going to live. You can't want something for her more than she wants it for herself. That was a hard thing to swallow. Because I want you healed. I want you healed now. I want my kids following God now. I don't want them to deal with this no more. I don't know why they have to be boneheaded. I don't know why they have to live where they're living. I don't know why they have to encounter what they're doing. Why do they stay with that man? Why do they stay with that woman? Why don't they just come home and let me take care of them? See, because it's you doing it. Sometimes they got to get away from you to understand what they're going through to be healed from it. See, some of your kids are in a place closer to God now than they ever was in your house because you're not hearing me tonight. You drove division between you and God because everything was about how bad they was, how wrong they was, what they did was wrong, how they spoke was wrong, the sin that happened in their life was wrong. But what really God's saying is, have some grace for them. The same way I had the grace for you when you was in the nightclub, when you was doing your dirty, when you was out in your dark nights, when you was in your sin, I had some forgiveness for you, baby. I don't know why you can't have the same grace for someone else. But yet, let somebody look at us wrong. Oh, it's on like Donkey Kong. It's over, baby. Who are you looking at? Don't get up on my bunk. Get away from me. I was in a bad mood. Me and Carissa was at the grocery store. I was in a bad mood one day. It's been a few years back. Praise God. And the lady said, your card ain't working. What you mean my card ain't working? I'm about to jerk her from behind the register. Let me punch the buttons in. You hitting something wrong. And I mean, I'm getting angry, mad. And all of a sudden, I felt a tap on the shoulder. And this lady said, here, just use mine. I see you're getting mad. We leave. The lady pays for our groceries. We leave. We go to the next grocery store and it works. I don't know why, but I was about to kill the cashier. God had to bring this lady in my life that I didn't know. See, what I'm trying to tell you through this is God's going to bring some people in your life that you don't even know is going to have an impact on your life. When you're speaking and you're talking and you're out in public, God is showing up in your life. You have to be aware of what you're going through. You've got to be aware of where God has you, because if you're not aware of what's going on, you're going to offend somebody. You're going to hurt somebody. And guess what? I tell Krista this all the time. It's going to be crazy when them people that I get mad at on the road show up and I'm in here preaching. I said, it's going to be crappy, ain't it? See, me and Pastor Jennifer's the same. I don't know if you would think we was identical twins sometimes, because we got the same personality. And the problem is, we're the most compassionate people in the world. But there's certain things. Don't mess with our family. Don't mess with her dogs. I don't even like dogs, but don't mess with her dogs because they're her dogs. But the third thing is that we have to understand, it's a hard thing to get in your life. You are the only voice that some people may have of who God is. If you don't understand that, if you don't get that in your soul, deep down in your heart, making sure I ain't over my time. I ain't trying to keep y'all late. Just till 10. We good. Yeah. You ain't got school tomorrow, do you? Too bad. All right. I'll give you some of this to take home with you. Remember? We talked about that earlier. No. But the supernatural expectation of who God is in your life starts with your expectation of yourself. See, Taylor, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody can. If you don't understand there's greatness within you, if you don't understand you're called to a higher calling, we all fall short. Don't get caught up in your falling, or you won't never get up. You won't never get up. If you get caught in your falling, you get caught in your falling down, you get caught up in your identity of thinking what somebody thinks about me. I ain't worried about what nobody thinks about me. Because in the end, I ain't burning with them. I'm hoping to get out of it. You're not hearing me. See, them folks that want to pass judgment on you is the folks that really have the identity crisis worse than you do. But see, they pull you in. It's like tug of war. Your identity is not found in who man says you are. Your identity is in who Christ says you are. Because His word is yes and amen. But see, what happens is we can't get past the supernatural. Or excuse me, we can't get past the surface level to get to the supernatural. Because if you don't think you can, you can't. Something I teach my ball players all the time. There was one night, one game, Regina's back there, her daughter, Caitlin Kilby, one of the best basketball players you'll ever see. One of the best girls I've ever coached, and I've been doing it for a long time. And I got her so fired up one night. I said, God's with you tonight. Let's go. You know, I was all up in her face. Tonight's the night. Let's go. These people did you wrong. Let's go. You're going to show them that this is not who you are. She goes out and gets 20-some points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, and we beat them by like 20 and wasn't expected to win. But it had to happen in her life for her to believe in herself. Somebody had to push her to another level. See, there's some people you need to get down and say, you're going to do this. You understand me? This is going to be your season. This is going to be your increase. This is going to be a time of favor in your life. You got to find somebody in your life and say, here, I'm going to give you that push. Because the more I push you up, the more, baby, I go up with you. It's all about us and not me. It's about we and not he. It's about getting you where you're going. Because when you get there, God's going to get the glory anyway. So it's going to make us all look good. See, some people in your life is only in your life because they want something from you. T.D. Jakes had the picture on his Facebook. It was a perfect picture. It made me think of Jennifer. But it was a homeless woman sitting on the sidewalk. Not that you're going homeless. Matt ain't going nowhere. And Dad will let you live with him if he leaves you. But it was a homeless lady sitting on the sidewalk. And she's holding a puppy. And it says, when you lose everything, you really find out who your friends are. It's a perfect example of God's love. When you get rid of all the drama in your life, you really find out who you're left with, what you're left with, how you're left with it. Amen? There's that moment in your life that you can remember when God did something great in your life. You know, I'll always remember when I was about 11 years old, the lady in church brought her daughter up and she had braces. And back then there were metal braces up your leg, you know, the kids that walk like this. And as the pastor began to pray for her, feet started to turn. And the braces popped off and she started running. I'm like, whoa. So I'm like Superman stuff. I'm looking for the phone booth. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. You know, this is like Superman stuff. But I never forgot it. And it's no matter how far I got away from God, I always remember what God did for her. So it kept me from going over the edge. Are you not here? And it kept me from going to that place of no return. Come on, there's that place of no return. The prisons are full of them. Not no return for eternity, but no return for the flesh. See, there's some things in the natural that you do, there's consequences for. You go out and murder somebody, you're going to prison. And you probably ain't getting out. No matter how much you get saved. No matter how much oil the pastor brings into the prison and prays for your cell bars to fall down and you to come out, you probably ain't coming out. Oh, you think I'm funny, but there's people out there that preach that. Oh, you can pray your way out of this. There's some things in the natural you ain't praying your way out. You better be worried about your salvation and not your place right now. See, there's a different expectation when you understand the principles of God. God works from the top down, not the way we want Him to and all the way around. See, we want God to work this way and this way and this way. See, we want to do like the Jenga. We want to take everything out and then expect everything else to be standing. We want to take out the part of the Scripture, Brother Pete, that don't fit what we like. Well, the Scripture really says this. If you look in the Greek, this word really means this. And if you look in the Hebrew, really it's kind of different because, you know, I really think that God don't look at it that way. Anybody worry about what you think? The Word is the Word. There's principles and there's structure in the Word. I believe there's a new covenant. I believe when Jesus Christ came to the earth, it gave us the ultimate sacrifice. We have the ability to repent, which means turn away from and go the other way. It doesn't mean I'm going to keep going over here in my greasy grace. I'm going to keep messing with this because I ain't got burnt yet. No, it means I don't want to touch it because there's something greater over here that I've experienced. See, the desire to is different. It's just like someone told me the other day, well, I believe I was born this way. Well, you can be born that way. I'm cool with that believing. But the Bible says when you come to Christ, you're made a new creature. So the way you're born really don't matter. And they just look at me like I'm stupid. But no, they believe that. And that's okay. Let them believe it. It's like I told him, Jesus to me is not a debate. It's a lifestyle. When you have a supernatural relationship with Him and you understand what He can do in your life and there's nothing that can separate you from the presence of God when your heart is turned towards His, the cross lines up with your life, then you understand the expectation in your life changes because you understand that I can't do the same things I've done before because I'm expecting different results over here. See, it says, what is it? Insanity is doing the same thing over and 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 expecting different results. Right? You know something I had to realize? I'd lost about 150 pounds before we moved here. I gained about 70 of it back. And I realized, the more calories I ate, the more weight I gained. I mean, I don't know what happened. I'm like, what's going on here? Miss 4,500 calories is not bad for one meal. I mean, come on. Then I got thinking, oh, well, the reason I lost weight is because I went down to 1,800 calories and I started working out. I'm burning 4,500 calories a day. I burnt more than I took in. But our walk with God is that simple. We have to understand what we put in stays in, and what comes out affects what comes in. See, what you're saying has to line up with how you're walking. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Jack, Bobo, and whatever else social media program they got out there. They have to line up. They have to line up with what you're doing on Sundays and Wednesdays because people are watching. See, your life, when you become a new creature in Christ, is not your own. And that is where we get lost. The song, "My Life Is Not My Own." Amen? See, you have to understand there is an expectation that God has. But when God's put his hand on you for good, this is what happens. God speaks power over your life. Presence comes to your life. Promotion, God promotion, comes to your life. God lifts you up to another level of influence and fruitfulness. See, when God places his hand on your life for good, there's no getting away. Oh, you might throw fits. See, when God said, "That's your dad," I got mad one day. And I thought I was going to be bad. So dad come out and he said, "What's going on?" I said, "None of your business." "What?" Yeah, see, Jennifer's looking at me now like, "Ha, I know he was crazy." I said, "None of your business." He said, "It is my business." He said, "You want me to take my belt off?" I said, "I'm 21. You don't think I will?" I had to bow down because I was about to get whipped at 21 years old. And I was scared inside. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like, on the outside, "Yeah, what?" But inside, I'm like, "Please don't hurt me. Please, God, I love you." But see, there was an expectation because we had connected. God had put something together that nobody could take apart. See, when God calls you to another level in your life, you understand the expectation from yourself is different. You will fall. You will have mistakes. But the last thing is provision. God provides you with provision. Everything we need physically, emotionally, rationally, spiritually, and financially is found in good old King James. You ain't got money to buy it? Leave it at the store till you do. If you ain't prayed about it, don't do it. If it don't make sense, it probably ain't gonna work. If every time you think about it, or you think about going back to him or her, and they've abused you, it ain't gonna work. Because the tie there is a soul tie that needs to be broken. No boy, hello. No girl, hello, can give you what God can give you. And if you think you're going to find it there, you're going to be lost. But when you find yourself there, you have to understand, how do I get back to where I was at? See, just because you fall down, just because you find yourself in a deep, dark place, just because you feel like there's no answer, doesn't mean you have to stay there. The more you learn to rely on the Word, the more you will find yourself not being so worldly. See, God called you to greatness. But to learn to walk in the supernatural expectation, you must understand, you've came this far. You've come this far. There's no going back. I'm here today to declare that my past is over. That I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. See, you have to be in a state of mind that when an enemy attacks you, you're prepared with the right tools to face Him. See, if you're an emotional wreck and you're dealing with fear and you're dealing with depression, and there's another attack here, another attack there, you're not going to see the situation right because you're already locked in over something else. But to get to the place where God has true provision for you, you must understand God provides a divine hedge around every one of us. And if you'll get up every morning praying this, Jennifer does it for the girls. How many years now, Jennifer? 7, 8, 9, 10 years? The one prayer they pray before they go in is God put a hedge of protection around each one as they enter the schools. I don't think it's no accident that our schools hasn't got shot up, because it happens everywhere else. We're vulnerable as they are. But I believe God's protecting our children because we're learning how to rely on His Word. Bad things happen to good people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those people didn't pray for their children. Okay? But what I'm telling you is we have to do our part. We have to take authority back what God's given us. In closing, as he begins to play, I just want you to close your eyes tonight. I want you to get that one thing in your mind tonight. That one situation. And I want you to begin to dwell on the scripture this week. Psalms 139 and 5. You have hedged me. You've hedged me in behind and laid your hand upon me. See, sometimes it takes a roadblock to get us to stay still. But I'm telling you tonight, God's wanting to do something with your situation. I believe it. I feel it in my spirit. But I want you to know God can't do anything with where you're at unless you give it to Him. Unless you realize where you're at is not where you want to be. To where you realize what you're going through is not where you want to stay in. Till you realize your financial situation is not a God situation. Your marriage is not a God situation. Your relationship with your children is not a God situation. That you realize that I need to surrender this to you, God. I need to give you the authority to move in my life. I'm getting out of the way and I'm saying, I need your presence. I need you to lead and guide and direct me. I've surrendered to you, Lord. I surrendered to this house. I've gave my all here. But God, I need you to show up in my life. I need you to direct my pattern. I need you, God, to oil me in some greasy and some friction areas in my life. I need you, God, to place some oil in my life in some certain areas. Those areas, God, that just continually send me to anger. That person, God, when I see them, it just continually sets me over the edge. Tonight, I want you to get that in your mind. And I want you to begin to declare out of your mouth, God's got this. Come on. Release something in the atmosphere tonight. I don't know, somebody in here tonight is struggling financially. And I don't mean just a little. I mean, you're on the verge of a financial crisis.